RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews The Fate of the Furious, now playing in area theaters.
The Fate of the Furious is the eighth film in the hit-or-miss franchise, but it is also the start of what Vin Diesel claims is the final trilogy. Since Diesel and even more muscled Dwayne The Rock Johnson cannot even be put in the same room for press junkets and interviews right now, I can't help but wonder how the next two installments may change course. A similar feeling emanates from the new movie. The Fast and the Furious franchise has been on an enjoyable and silly run since Fast Five resurrected the moribund and forgettable first four films. New characters, unbelievable stunts which made us laugh at their sheer audacity, and a steady state of cheeky villains kept the now built-in audience checking in. Unfortunately, The Fate of the Furious checks out of the funhouse, and it is not due to Paul Walker's absence. It's the irritating plot mechanism, the over-the-top villain, and the fact that I could tell The Rock was not in the room with the other actors, even when his character allegedly was. James Wan left his mark on the franchise with Furious 7, taking over from Justin Lin, who helmed the previous four entries. F. Gary Gray of Friday and Straight Outta Compton fame takes over Fate, and the atmosphere is noticeably heavier. Perhaps the new aura is because of the absurd plot of Dominic Toretto, played by Diesel, ditching the family and going rogue to aid a super hacker villain. The audience knows more than the characters this time around. Cypher, played by Charlize Theron, a dreadlocked, always whispering, all-knowing gadget god, shows Dom some sort of threat on her cell phone, and that's all it takes. He double-crosses the team and makes sure to neither wink at his wife Letty, played by Michelle Rodriguez, or throw a head nod at anyone who could immediately lower the volume in the room with a simple, "It's okay, Dom is still on our side, but he's up to something. He gave me the head nod." It's annoying plot holes like that setting up the entire implausible "Is Dom a traitor?" plotline, which sucks most of the fun out of Fate. But you're not here for plot, you're here for mind-blowing vehicular stunts. Well, there is nothing in Fate which rivals cars parachuting out the back of a C-17, or hopping from skyscraper to skyscraper above the Dubai horizon. There is a ho-hum race through Havana, a giant wrecking ball, hacked cars careening and falling all over Manhattan, and the Russian submarine which keeps crashing through the ice to try and physically squash our heroes. Yes, the submarine is a gutsy move, but it is more ha-ha than ooh. The Fate of the Furious is the first Universal picture to film in Cuba since the embargo kicked off in 1963. The executives negotiated with the Raul Castro government, and they take advantage of it to kick off the film. Aerial shots admire the old city, and Chris Morgan's script has Dom and Letty appreciate Cuban car culture, where their 1950s automobiles now run on boat engines and anything else their adept mechanics can scrounge. As Dom so aptly mumbles, "You know it doesn't matter what's under the hood, it's who's behind the wheel." Honestly, is there any difference between Dominic Toretto and Diesel's other action hero mumbler, Triple X? Diesel plays them both as the same guy. Perhaps Toretto talks slower and doesn't smile as much. As for who's behind the wheel, well, just about everybody is back. There's Chris Ludicrous Bridges as the tech guy, Natalie Emmanuel as Ramsey the hacker, Mr. Nobody, played by Kurt Russell, is back for a handful of needless chatter, and of course Tyrese Gibson as Roman. Tyrese has always been my least favorite Fast and Furious actor ever since he popped up in the second installment. He used to persistently yell, "I'm hungry," for every scenario. Now, Tyrese noticed how well Kevin Hart plays in theaters, and he copies his shtick. Chris Morgan writes him Kevin Hart one-liners. He plays the doofus comic relief, and in a film stuffed full of questionable choices, Tyrese easily maintains his mantle of most superfluous. Other than Charlize Theron's creepy and philosophizing villain character, The main newbie is Scott Eastwood, as a guy called Little Nobody, as he is Mr. Nobody's protege. I think Eastwood is the Paul Walker replacement. He's learning the ropes, as Walker did in the first film from 2001. He's earnest, and wants to impress and do well, and he straight up looks like Paul Walker. The studio may bill The Fate of the Furious as the start of a trilogy, but it is pure sequel. Mr. Nobody yells at The Rock and Jason Statham, the bad guy from Furious 7, saying, "Like it or not, you two are working together." That has cliche sequel oozing out of its pores. You mean the good guy and the former bad guy now have to get along to take down the seriously bad guy? That's crazy. What it is a soap opera for the NASCAR crowd. They are enjoying that the Fast and the Furious is turning into the Expendables. They want any and all action stars they can get and sprawling warehouses full of $2 million cars and sporty tanks. Chris Morgan inserts some contemporary paranoia about the vulnerability of cars being hacked into and what that may do to the upcoming autonomous driving era society is on the verge of. But he employs the phenomenon for action points and Blues Brothers-level vehicular mayhem instead of anything interesting. Yawn. Wake me up when they figure out how to make us smile and laugh, along with the absurdity again, rather than pretending to wallow in the melodrama those of us who have seen all 8 films will never believe these characters are capable of. That is why I give The Fate of the Furious 1.5 out of 4 stars.
Fate of the Furious is rated PG-13. Now playing at Cobb Tyrone Luxury 10, Regal Park Place Stadium 16 and RPX, Regal Largo Mall 8, and AMC Sundial 20. Radio StPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit Charlie Jewell, JUHL.com. Radio St. Pete.com.